Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. Today we got a great conversation with Brett Hagler, and wait till you hear the work that he's doing with New Story. It's coming up right now on Sports Spectrum.
Welcome to the Sports Spectrum podcast, where faith and sports collide. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
Welcome to the show, guys. I'm Jason Romano. So glad you're tuning into our program. Today, we are the intersection of sports and faith here at Sports Spectrum. And we got a great conversation coming up with Brett Hagler, the CEO and co-founder of New Story. Before we get to our conversation with Brett, I want to tell you about our Sports Spectrum newsletter and the way that you can get a really unique and free gift, a 10-day daily devotional written by professional athletes for free. You can sign up right now at sportspectrum.com. Our weekly newsletter is an email that comes to you each week, usually on Wednesday mornings, just kind of updating you on all the latest and greatest that we have here at Sports Spectrum, the articles, the stories, the podcast, the devotionals. It comes right there in one simple email to you each Wednesday morning. Sports Spectrum Weekly is what we call it, and that's our weekly newsletter. You can sign up for free at sportspectrum.com. And when you do sign up, we're going to send you a gift, a 10-day daily devotional, a Sports Spectrum devotional written by professional athletes. So it's their words, not mine, not anybody that I work with. It is the professional athletes themselves writing these devotionals to help you along on your journey with Jesus. Again, sign up for free over at sportspectrum.com. You click the newsletter icon, just put your email address in, and you're good to go. The Sports Spectrum weekly newsletter. Sign up for free at sportspectrum.com. All right, our conversation today with Brett Hagler is coming up right now. And Brett is the CEO and co-founder of New Story. Since the founding of New Story in 2015, the company has gone from $0 to over $70 million in revenue and built over 30 holistic communities impacting over 3,500 families and homes in Haiti, El Salvador, Mexico, and the United States. I was introduced to Brad by our mutual friend, Brad Lominick, who is a leadership guru and a connector and knows a lot of people. And he told me about Brett's story. Brett also has a background in sports, having played high school basketball, and actually has an amazing story of overcoming cancer in his high school journey as well. And now he's recognized as one of the most intriguing entrepreneurs out there. In fact, named by Goldman Sachs as a top 100 most intriguing entrepreneur, and his company was named among Fast Company's most innovative companies in the world four different times. In fact, Brett was recognized on Forbes 30 Under 30 list back in 2016. So we're talking about what I like to say, kind of a big deal here, Brett Hagler, and I'm so glad that he found time to share his story. He's a humble dude who loves Jesus and just wants to help people. He's the CEO and co-founder of New Story, and he's our guest today on Sports Spectrum. Brett, welcome to Sports Spectrum. How are you?
Jason, great to be on with you. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's so good to have you. We were connected and introduced by our mutual friend, Brad Lominick, who Brad has been a guest on this podcast as well, and is just one of the great connectors that I know of, and he feels like he knows everybody, right, Brett? Doesn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he told me about you and about New Story, and I was like, yeah, we got to get Brett on here. And there's a lot to your story that I'm curious about, but let's start, I guess, with sports, your love of sports, yeah, and the role that sports has played in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, growing up, I mean, sports was my outlet. Sports was what I used a lot of, I think, some of my skills and leadership desires. I just channeled a lot of my God-given abilities. I channeled it towards sports. And, you know, now I've been very entrepreneurial in my 20s and early 30s. And sometimes you hear stories about entrepreneur types that in their earlier days, you know, they would set up their lemonade stands, or they'd do all these like little, you know, entrepreneurial stories. And I never did any of that. My focus was really just around sports, specifically basketball, a little bit of football, but mainly basketball. And I had a high school coach was we had a really good high school team. Was like a game away from the state championship my junior year. Like we're a really good high school team. I mean, we couldn't compete with maybe like the best team in the whole state, but we were a really good team. And this coach is named Steve Fitzgerald. I mean, he just taught so much about mental toughness. I mean, that's where I learned mental toughness, right? Which now, like as an entrepreneur, like that's the game. Like that is the game. Mental toughness, fighting through adversity, you know, habits, getting up early, going to, you know, 5:30, 6 a.m. shoot around. And, you know, sometimes it was a choice of who would show up and who wouldn't, and all of these, incredibly important, life practices and principles, were instilled in me really in high school through basketball. And so I'm just so grateful that I had those learnings. And, it's been beautiful to see how God has connected some of those, learnings and really the mindset to what I do now as an entrepreneur. There's so many parallels, and then we start factoring in team building and character. I mean, it pretty much covers everything. So
yeah. Brett Hagler's game. Like if I'm going back to 17 year old Brett and I'm playing you, we're playing pickup outside and I want to have you on my team. What are you, what's your strengths and what your weaknesses?
I wasn't like the star. I'd probably be like a really good number two or three. I would probably get you around 15 points a game, wouldn't shoot that many shots, but be pretty efficient, and a really good defender. So ideally like one of the best defenders on the court. That would be like kind of at my best version.
Where's your position though? Were you a big, were you a two or three?
I was a guard. I was a guard. Mainly a two. Sometimes I play one. I was 6'1". I was pretty strong. I was like 175, 180. So that was it.
All right.
I could have been, you know, one of my, and I guess I don't regret it because God's connected a lot of dots to where I am now. And I love where I am now, but I do think going back, and this gets a little bit into my testimony, in high school, I started to care a little bit too much, about things off the court. I'll put it that way. Mainly, girls and partying. And sure. I do think that it started to affect, how much time and effort and my habits and a lot of the things that have, I think, made me a decent leader and entrepreneur in my 20s. If I would have applied those things, if I would have actually gone to like the next level with some of my mindset and what I've learned now as an entrepreneur, I could have been probably three times, four times better than I was. Just through like those choices, right? So I somewhat regret that. But
yeah, well, you're also a high school kid, and high school kids are knuckleheads and make mistakes too. But there's totally. Two interesting parallels here I think I want to get into. First of all, your Jesus story, but also and they may intersect, but also battling cancer. And that all took place a little bit in high school. Can you kind of walk me through those two worlds and, you know, maybe take us through the faith journey first that maybe leads up into the cancer story?
Sure. So I went to a private Christian school in middle school and high school. I was there for basketball, really there for the coach. And coach, his name is called Fitz. He was a strong believer, probably the best role model I had growing up as a believer that actually got my attention and inspired me. But, you know, once I got into high school, I don't know, I kind of felt like from a testimony that, faith to me and what I was exposed to was boring, too many rules, not adventurous. You know, you couldn't go out and have fun and enjoy life and be successful and make a lot of money. A lot of the things that I had been conditioned to thinking, was what I wanted in life. I just felt like, I know God's I know he's important. I know Jesus is cool and important, but I'll figure it out when I'm like 60 because right. Until then I could do all this other stuff and I can live for me. And that's going to be way better than if I put Jesus on the throne of my life and I surrender, because how in the world could that doesn't sound better than me going out and doing my own thing and, you know, girls, gold, and glory. I call it the three G's. That's what I was basically living for. And then after that was really just like a vision of business success and entrepreneurial success. And like, yeah, I'll fit in God and Jesus later down the road. Mm-hmm. But until then, I'm like, I'm good. Like, you know, I don't need that. And so that was kind of where my head was starting to go in high school, of just like punting God, basically, right? Being like, I'll come back to this later in life, because there's no way it could be as good as if I live my life for myself. So that was my thinking. And then when I was a senior in high school, we were actually going into the state playoffs for basketball. I was going to potentially play at a smaller college. And I was doing that, but then I, out of nowhere got diagnosed with a really rare form of cancer. Right toward the end of my high school career, and came out of completely left field. I was probably the last person in the school anybody thought would get cancer when they were 18. I mean, there's people who've had it way worse, but it definitely, was a serious tumor. It was about a 30% chance it didn't make it. It was, really dangerous. It was kind of in my nasal area, could have gone up to my brain. Like it was scary for sure. And there were definitely moments where myself and my parents and my team, and I mean, nobody knew what the outcome was going to be. And so that was a season where fortunately I got through it. I was better. There were some just extraordinary doctors that basically performed 10 out of 10 perfect surgeries. There was a small little miracle in there too. So I ended up getting better. And, once I got better, instead of me kind of fully surrendering my life to God and being full of gratitude and just wanting to, you know, make the most of a now more generous and selfless life, I honestly went the other way. I was like, okay, life is obviously short. I never know when it's going to end. I already had this vision of what I wanted to do in college and in my 20s. And now I'm just going to like go do that to the nth degree. And so I went to Florida State and, kind of just was lived my life entirely for myself, used any kind of leadership skill or ambition, entirely for my self gain. And, did that throughout college, a little bit after college, and then found myself in a place where I was surrounded by some older folks that I got to see some of their lifestyle. And they were folks that I think that I thought I wanted to be like one day. And then I got a closer view of what it was actually like on the inside. And, God used that experience to start to reposition what I wanted. And I started to just think about more meaning, a bigger purpose. God started to come back in the picture. And in my early 20s, I was starting a for-profit startup and I was raising venture capital money. And one of the gentlemen that I was trying to raise money from, I had no idea he was a believer. From the outside, he was like the coolest guy, a role model. He was a former CEO turned venture capitalist. I'm like, I want to be like this guy when I grow up. And had, again, no idea he was a believer. And at lunch, when I was trying to one, pitch him to be our largest investor and to learn from him, because I was just an early 20 something, loved leadership, loved learning, loved self growth, health, all things. And I asked him a question about leadership, and he said his philosophy is about servant leadership. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, what does that mean? Like, where'd you get that from? And it was just a softball for him to just answer my question and tell me about Jesus and to give me a vision for servant leadership and how I could still use a lot of my ambition and my desire, and just make it more about others. And I could still have an exciting and adventurous life that, you know, could try to go make big things happen if that wasn't God's will, but to do it in a way that was serving and that was putting others before myself. So that was the catalyst that, that God used to kind of change everything. And I just made a total 180 in my early 20s. And went all in, surrendered my life and to Christ. And it's been an amazing about 8 years since then.
That's a great story. We're going to get into new story in a second with that. I'm really fascinated by, I was just kind of going through as I'm thinking about your faith journey and looking on your social media pages, I find John 3:30 there, the Bible verse. And that's a verse that actually guides and directs us at Sports Spectrum as well. When you go into our Spectrum offices in Colorado, he must increase, we must decrease. John 3:30 is right up on the walls there. And it's kind of how we operate in the increase in Christ and the decrease in self as a ministry. What's that verse mean to you? Why John 3:30?
Yeah, it's definitely my guiding verse. I think those priorities, especially as I've learned when I started to have more success than I thought I would in my 20s, and started to get a lot more accolades and started to actually see like, wow, I like helped start something that could like really grow and scale and potentially turn into all these things. And on one hand, obviously that's a blessing and that's amazing. And on the other hand, there's of course the ego side of all of it, right? And if you're doing anything in ministry or the nonprofit world, what I've learned through my experience is one of the greatest deceptions, that the enemy can do is he can come in and he can make the impact and the growth and the accolades and this keynote or this or that, the list goes on. That could actually come from a place of entire like selfishness and self-glory, right? That's somewhat disguised and it's not entirely bad or wrong and for good and because it's for others, right? Sure. And so I caught that a little earlier and I was really scared of that happening to me. And so I just wanted more than ever to be able to see every day and to have a life first that was about, it's about Jesus and others increasing and about me decreasing. And every week, if I can move more towards that, that's going to help me actually live into the will of what Jesus wants for me. That's success, right? Success to me is now I've learned is, being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus and trying to do what he would do if he was me, right? And trying to abide over strive and trying to have obedience over outcomes. And as hard as that is, especially when you're younger and it seems like things are working and there's momentum, it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge to truly desire for Jesus and others to increase while you want to decrease. But there's trust in knowing that if that does happen and that is the true desire, that one, you're accomplishing, you're going to be in a better position to actually do what he wants you to do. And that's going to lead to a better life. So
let's take a quick break from our conversation with Brett Hagler to tell you more about Sports Spectrum's magazine. You can check it out at sportsspectrum.com and subscribe. It is a great resource if you're looking for stories, in-depth stories on the intersection of sports and faith with your favorite athletes and coaches. Sports Spectrum magazine is the place to turn to. It's the best thing I think that we do here at Sports Spectrum. It's also the longest tenured thing that we do here. When you think back to how Sports Spectrum was created back in 1985, it started with a magazine and that magazine continues today. And it is a great resource. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a gift for someone, Sports Spectrum's magazine is the way to go. And we keep it really cheap. $18 for a one-year subscription. For the whole year, it's less than $20. If you want a two-year subscription, you can lock that in as well. And it's only $30. And you can do that at sportsspectrum.com, the website. Just click the magazine icon and you can place your subscription there. It's a great way to support our ministry as well. But like I said, it is a great resource to have. If you want to share it with someone who you know is a sports fan, and have them see how God is working in the lives of all of these athletes, the Sports Spectrum magazine is the place to turn. Again, subscribe today, 1 year for $18, 2 years, lock it in now for $30 over at sportsspectrum.com. We're so glad to have Brett Hagler here on the show on Sports Spectrum today. He is the CEO and co-founder of New Story. At what point, and you kind of alluded to the idea of Christ getting a hold of your life and the venture capitalist, the guy you meet, kind of living his life out as a servant leader and kind of showing you who Jesus is and maybe your purpose in this. Mm-hmm. But then to actually go and start New Story and take the leap and begin this journey, where does that happen? Where does that take place in the idea of, I want this to be what this is? And then I also want you to explain what New Story
is. For sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, to kind of preface that, I did, you know, throughout college and a little bit after college, I always had a dream and a desire to do something entrepreneurial or to do something that would be, I wanted to be a tech entrepreneur, right? Business focused. I mean, I was reading, you know, a business book about every week, or reading biographies about other, you know, leaders and disruptors and all this stuff. And I just thought I'd always channel that towards, making a bunch of money and hopefully like building a big business, right? That was the goal. And then when I became a believer in my early 20s, so I say that just because that's already what I was like desiring or learning. And then when I became a believer and got a new vision for what leadership could mean and could look like, God just redirected, some of my ambition to where I wanted to be able to use those skills and that drive and those, all the things I was trying to learn and innovation, all those things that excited me. How could I use that where the outcome is ideally, or the output is people being impacted for a better life. And so that was the kind of reframing that happened. And then from how it actually happened, I was starting a for-profit startup, as mentioned. That startup, we wanted to start giving back a little bit of the money we were making. It was not a lot, but to a charity. Those two charities. One was a charity in New York, called Charity Water, which some of your, you know, listeners might list know.
Absolutely.
Good friends with their founder, both Scott and Vic Harrison, are on our board and are good friends and mentors. So one was Charity Water. And the second one was a charity in Haiti, called Mission of Hope, who we still partner with. And I wanted to go see the organization in Haiti in person. So I went on a trip for my first time kind of going on a missions trip. And I had no idea that what I was going to see there was going to lead to starting New Story. So get out of my comfort zone, trying something different. I was reading a lot of the New Testament. This is when I was like still a lot earlier in my faith, meaning like the first 2 years. And to me, it was just very clear how much Jesus cared about the poor and about the vulnerable and about the least of these. And so that compelled me to want to see some of that in person. That's all over the world. It doesn't have to be, you know, in Haiti. It's in all of our cities. But I wanted to go see that in person. That's what I felt called to. And so I did. I went down there, and what I saw, didn't sit well with me, which was families and kids living in tarp tents, after an earthquake that destroyed their housing. And there was no plan to get life's basic human needs back, safety, shelter, clean sanitation, and food. And it was just very clear to me that, you know, humans, and now we're in 2021, but back then it was almost 2015. You know, despite all the advancements that we have in the world, which are extraordinary, and the technology and all the human progress we've made, it just didn't sit well with me that kids were still being born into dirt floors with no safety, no shelter, and without Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so that became really clear. And then I wanted to find another organization that I could get really excited about and I could champion, because I didn't think I would start a charity. And when I looked, I became frustrated with, from my perspective as like a younger entrepreneur, very interested in technology, the startup world. I wanted to see some more innovation, more forward thinking, like refreshing a lot of the maybe traditional, traditional ways, a little outdated from my perspective. And that became the reason that I was frustrated that I couldn't find that. And that became the reason why I thought it made sense to actually start something. And that's why I called it New Story. I wanted to create a new story, and not just the families that we get to work with, and provide housing and communities, but also a new story in how we think about refreshing an outdated charity model. So that's how we got started in 2015. And what we do, I mean, very simply put, we partner with some of the poorest families in the world that don't have access to a multi-generational home product and don't have access to financing or lending. And we partner with them through providing a low cost home. That's about $6,000. Mm. We use a lot of different innovations and material science and architecture to get the cost that low. And then we also partner with them from a lending perspective where, they actually will pay for about half of the house. That's a loan that they'll pay back. So we're providing that, the lending and the home cost. And then there is charity, there's subsidy for each home as well, just because the families we work with are making $3 to $12 a day, so they can't afford the whole house. So that's what we do now.
Man, that's such great work and such a great story. And I love what you guys are doing. Can you tell me about a story or a time of just the tangible impact, right? Like if somebody wants to partner with New Story and they're listening to this, sure, or they want to donate or whatever, they want to say, okay, the fact that you're helping families is great, but the stories is what really mm-hmm. penetrates and cuts through when you hear and see someone. And you had this, I know I saw it as part of that Apple TV documentary where you guys were featured about the 3D printed community. And it was just a really cool thing a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Tell us a story of the work that New Story is doing, maybe how it's impacting.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so before starting New Story, I was really excited about, like income generation and education. I thought those are the things. And I still think they are, but it was very clear to me that, a hardworking mom that has talent and wants to go work hard, if she doesn't have literally the basics of safety and shelter, both physical and psychological, and clean sanitation for her kids and her, well, when it rains and it storms, they'll be flooding inside of their home. And that means mosquitoes will come in and the kids will get sick and they can't go to school. And then the mom can't actually go to work and hold a job. And it's just, it's this long cycle where the net of it is, we call it, they're just living in survival mode where they're not able to be in a position to actualize their God-given potential and dreams, right? Because they're just held back. They're governed by just trying to survive day by day because of their lived environment. So, you know, for example, last year we did a study, of a couple hundred families, majority being, you know, kind of women led, and their income after getting into a home increased by almost 85% just from having a house, which then opens them up for, more microloans or for, I mean, the whole, you name it, right? All these opportunities open up because they're actually in a more stable position. And so, the story that comes to mind is just a single mom, in Mexico that, you know, wants to start her own little small business and before was never able to. And now, you know, she's able to not only have her kids be safe at night and, you know, healthier and the list goes on, but also actualize more of her dream of starting something that brings her joy and that she's passionate about, and is generating income for their family.
Mm, that's a great story. Brett, what's the website so people can check it out when we're finished here?
It's newstorycharity.org.
newstorycharity.org.
You could just Google New Story or New Story Charity.
Nice. newstorycharity.org is the website. Brett Hagler is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. I've read or was listening to you on a podcast where you talked about being passionate about the intersection of innovation and impact. Tell me about what that means and innovation. I mean, I kind of know when you talk about New Story, but there's more to that, I have to imagine, when you're passionate about something, between innovation and impact.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, this is how just, I think God wired me. And, since I'm co-founder and the CEO, I get to help set a culture and the values at the org and hire the people that we want to hire. And so what we get so passionate about is, on the one hand, which is most important, is of course, like the outcome of the families that we get to help and like their better lives. Right. But I'd say what I'm almost just as passionate about is, how do we do that? And how do we use innovation, which innovation isn't always like, you know, sexy, shiny technology or 3D printed homes, right? There's innovation to me is just figuring out pain points and frustrations and creating a better process or experience, right? Sure. There's a lot of different ways you can do that. And so we love solving problems and innovating on all the reasons, the kind of core reasons of why families are in the positions that they're in, right? Oh, the home cost is too high. They can't get access to lending, right? Like the list goes on. And then we get to apply our entrepreneurial thinking, which is a passion and who I think God made me to be. And trying to have a lot of the same standards that some of the best, for-profit startups would have, or a lot of the great technology companies. And we want to apply those same principles, to the work that we do, which, you know, our market is families that are, you know, literally some of the poorest families in the world, but we still want to bring them ideally, and these are ideals, like the highest standards and great quality and, you know, rethinking traditional systems and bringing innovation to those families. That's what I get really passionate about and our team gets really passionate about. So the intersection of those two things is a lot of fun. And I think I'm seeing other, you know, other organizations across different, social impact industries do that. And I think we're going to see more of that over the decade.
How are you able to take that faith that is so important to you that we talked about and insert it into the work that you do today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, I'd say there's a couple things that come to mind. One is, like, I think dignity comes to the top of my mind, as far as who we serve. And that means, and I've been exposed to, you know, other nonprofits or churches, and I think the heart is amazing and is great. But I do think sometimes that dignity is somewhat out of the picture, where, they're not involving families in the actual design process, or they're not asking for families their opinions or their creativity, right? Because it's the family, they're super poor and they don't have experience. And so not involving the families, not having the highest standard or like quality bar of what you're actually delivering to families, because they're some of the poorest families in the world. So anything is almost better than nothing, right? And some of that is true, but I feel my faith, like I feel Jesus has called me to want to bring really high standards and quality and dignity and honor and respect, to some of the poorest families in the world. Right. And so that'll be one piece of it. The second thing is just how we treat our team. And that is through a value that we have called a humble pursuit of excellence, but that stems directly from Jesus. I think a lot of that is who Jesus was and his character, of being on one hand, you know, humble first, compassionate first, and, you know, going out with tenacity and like trying to go make things happen. And those two things blended together, I think are, you know, it's, for us, that's like our core value at the organization. And then how do we truly live out just putting others before ourselves? So, I mean, I've basically just taken a lot of the scripture that spoke most to me, and how do we instill that into our values in a way that anyone can get on board with, whether they're a Christian, no faith, different faith, like it doesn't matter, right? What are these core leadership principles that if you do them, it's going to make people around, it's irresistible, right? And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about Jesus and the leadership philosophy is it's, if you're putting others before yourself, if you're having a high standard, if you're truly loving people, if you're, you know, operating out of humility, like kindness, compassion, the fruits of the spirit, generosity, I mean, the list goes on, like it's truly irresistible, right? And I think that shows up in how you build a culture, and how you treat people, like for us, like who we work with on the ground, our partners, our families. If you're doing those things, it, fruit will come. Right? If it's genuine, fruit will come. So it's a little bit of how I try to live out my faith.
Well, it's got to be such a great way to have conversations about faith with people.
Totally.
Too, right? Like maybe the new story nonprofit world isn't overtly Christian per se,
right.
Even though it is.
Yeah, it's not.
It's nonprofit, mm-hmm. Right. But man, what a great opportunity to love and serve. And then people say like that guy did with you many years ago, right? It was like, let me tell you about servant leadership. And you're like, what is that? It's like, oh,
exactly.
And it points people back to Christ. It has to be such a cool evangelistic way, I guess, without even trying to be evangelistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's been amazing the doors that God has opened through that. You know, it's almost every time something happens, it's not because I'm trying to force it. I'm just trying to, you know, humbly live out the values and the practices of Jesus, and then opportunities happen. Right. And that's been, and people are called to so many different things, right? Like some people are called to more like direct, overt, ministries, right? Some are called to just be an extraordinary leader at a large company, right? Some people, the list goes on, right? To be a high school coach. And, but I think if you're doing your job, ideally at a high standard with humility, and you are living out the values of Jesus, yes, to your point, Jason, like people are going to ask. And even if they don't ask, it's going to be a beautiful example of why you're motivated and what it's like to be a believer.
My last couple of questions here, really even maybe just one question, is focused on leadership. You're a CEO, co-founder, you're leading a very, I would call it a large company, even though it's a nonprofit, but it's impacting a lot of people and doing some great things. We talked about beforehand, Brad Lominick introducing us, and he wrote books on leadership. I wrote a book on leadership. So I'm fascinated by leadership, and it always comes back to servant leadership, especially if you're a believer. Right. And if you're not a servant leader and if you're a believer, then you got it backwards. But what is it that makes a great leader in your opinion? Now that you've been doing this a while, you know, what have you seen that makes a great leader? Because we have a lot of coaches that listen, a lot of players that want to be leaders, a lot of people that work in vocational places, even in churches that want to be great leaders. What have you seen that's worked outside of just obviously being a servant leader that has helped you in your leadership journey?
It's great. I'll answer that in two ways. Okay. The first is, the more I'm around other leaders that I really respect, and I've seen this in my own life, I continuously see people that have, even though they're most likely scared or feel fear, they have courage and they're willing to go out of some kind of comfort zone to stretch to a new level, right? And that can look like courage. That can look like boldness. And it doesn't have to be these like, you know, huge, crazy, big things, but it's just when you start to feel timid about something and you start to feel, man, the easy button would be to not do this, right? Or to not do the hard thing, or to just stay in stasis or stay to what I'm comfortable with. I think so much of leadership is recognizing that and then going against it, right? And continuously trying to challenge yourself and grow, and have the courage and the gut to try something, knowing that it could fail, right? And I think as believers, like our identity isn't in our outcomes or our success, right? And what we do, right? Yeah. Our identity is first and foremost that our names are in heaven, and that's what we should rejoice in first, right? We should rejoice in being children of God. And when you really understand that and you take that at its word, then I think as believers, that opens us up to a lot of calculated risk taking and to have more courage and to be more bold and to actually try things that the outcome is not guaranteed. And to put ourselves out on a limb, right? Where we're exposed to some risk. And I don't mean bet it all dumb risk, but I mean like some risk to then eventually get a different kind of return, right? So that's the first thing. And I think as believers, we should be the ones that are going out and making bolder bets. And I think that is such a differentiator, because what I've learned is usually being bold is rare, right? And it's not that many people. When you do it at first, you get a lot of naysayers. I'm going to tell one quick sports example, that I think is actually one of the best examples of being bold. So, Dabo Swinney, right? Who I don't know Dabo. Seems like a strong believer. Seems like obviously a great leader.
Yeah,
when Dabo set his vision and how bold he was in the beginning of what he wanted Clemson to be from a culture standpoint, right? He went out on a limb. He made himself available for scrutiny, for, you know, people laughing at him, but he felt like it was possible. And he set such a high standard of what Clemson could be like one day. Not can we, you know, one day beat Alabama or Ohio State, but no, we're going to be them. And everybody's like, dude, what are you saying? Like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
But he was actually bold enough and had the courage and the guts to have that vision, and then to reverse engineer and backwards plan, what would it actually take to get there? So that's a bigger example, but so many people could do more things like that. But the gravitational pull is to be more reasonable, be more normal. Don't think that big. Don't think that bold. You can't do that. So when you can actually go against it, that's when a lot of big things happen. That was my first example. And then the other thing on leadership is, a lot of people know this concept, but I really think that, Jim Collins, like level 5 leadership, which is essentially the combination of humility and excellence, compassion and tenacity, that combo together, I think produces the best coaches, the best CEOs, the best VPs, the people that you want to work for, right? Because they, their ego is checked. It's not about them. It's about the bigger picture. They're going to love and care for you genuinely. And you know that, and they are going to push you, and they're going to try to optimize, you know, your potential, and they're going to set a higher standard, and they're going to have, you know, yeah, they're going to pursue excellence. So those two things together, I think, create the most inspiring and the best leaders.
Yeah. You just described Howard Hayworth and Steve Stenstrom, who were my bosses, my VP and the president
of
Sports Spectrum. So I'm glad that you said that, because that's what I see when I work with those two guys every day. Brett, this has been great, man. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah.
Again, newstorycharity.org is the website they should check out. And he is Brett Hagler. Yeah. Thanks for being here, my friend. All the best to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Great stuff there from Brett Hagler, the CEO and co-founder of New Story. You can check him out at newstorycharity.org, newstorycharity.org. They're doing awesome work. And so glad that Brett joined us here today to share his story, not only the story of New Story, but his own story of taking a leap, of becoming an entrepreneur, of finding purpose, of putting his faith in Jesus, of overcoming cancer, and playing high school basketball as well. There was a lot there. I hope you took some notes, because Brett Hagler had a lot of really dynamite nuggets in there to share with us today. And especially at the end there, when he talked about leadership, that was gold. That was just gold. So appreciate Brett for sharing his story, for sharing the story of New Story. And again, check him out at newstorycharity.org. Thanks to Brett for joining us today. Thanks to you for tuning in as well. Make sure you click that subscribe button as you're listening to this podcast, so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum. If this is the first time you joined us here on the program, we're so happy you're here. Welcome to Sports Spectrum. We are the intersection of sports and faith. SportsSpectrum.com is our website, and this podcast is the center of a podcast network of shows that you can listen to with Sports Spectrum. We have a network of shows, and it's really an exciting time for us at Sports Spectrum as we continue to grow, as we continue to figure out ways to be, like Brett talked about, innovative and impactful with what we want to do, which is bring Jesus back into the conversation. So click subscribe so you never miss an episode of this podcast. Tell someone about Sports Spectrum, and even sign up for our weekly newsletter over at sportsspectrum.com for free. The weekly newsletter gets you a free 10-day daily devotional written by the pro athletes themselves. You can do that at sportsspectrum.com. And then make sure you join us next time for a brand new episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. My name is Jason. We love you guys. We hope you all have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time.